Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Where the streams of abundance flow, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Newcastle got a point against Man City. Norwich got a point against Arsenal. But West Ham got all three against Chelsea. It's that time again, everybody, where yes. We're back once again with Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
And Jim Campbell.
Hiya.
And yes. Me, Marcus Speller.
I played the audio there a little bit too loud, Marcus, but uh-huh. You rode the levels with your voice very well. Thank you very much, sir.
An early compliment from Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's hope you don't lose it about 40 minutes in.
Let's make that clear. It will be the last compliment you get this show after your little performance this weekend and the people on Twitter.
Hang on a minute. Before we get that, if you want to know what we actually look like, ladies and gentlemen, We have got a Ramble tour video out on our YouTube page.
We do.
Yeah, if you wanted to have a little insight into what actually went on in the Football Ramble Tour of 2019 in the countries of England, America and Canada.
Bloody lovely, wasn't it?
It was bloody lovely.
So
get yourselves over there. We've got us talking, we've got us dancing and throwing bottles and all sorts.
Bit of a song in there.
Actually, only one of us is seen manhandling a bottle.
Well, if I manhandled it better, it was like David James and his pomp flapping at it. Smashed it all over the gaff.
You do play a lot of computer games, don't you?
I do. So if you get on over to our YouTube page, it's http://www.youtube.com/footballramble.
Lovely old job. Now, Peter, talking of lovely old jobs, you must have been absolutely delighted.
I was absolutely delighted.
With Newcastle getting a draw, an incredibly credible draw against the champions of England, who won a domestic treble last season. They're one of the best sides in the continent. And they were blunted
by
the tactics of Steve Bruce.
Yep.
But they thought they'd won, didn't they, Marcus?
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough.
They
didn't have enough.
That's the thing with Steve Bruce's side. They keep coming back.
They keep coming at you.
They have so much in the tank.
Well, look, as I said last week.
Yeah. Bruce is doing an all right job.
I thought Bruce is doing an excellent job as Newcastle United. In fact, I've got the audio from last week's show.
There we go.
But this weekend they'll go score draw. It'll be like score draw at half time.
Yep.
Brucey will just shuffle the players up top. It won't make a damn bit of difference. The supply will just dry up from midfield, and they'll just be going for dead balls and time wasting and trying to just get John Joe Shelby on the end of a ball, which is what's been happening for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I'll tell you something though.
I think you're right, Pete.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, isn't it?
Hard to argue with evidence, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So you're a disgrace.
That's exactly what I said.
You're an absolute disgrace. I think that you have never been so gutted to see Newcastle score a late equaliser against the
side. Well, only because of my Twitter mentions, which I which I cherish.
I couldn't believe my luck, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Well, I guess the tweet I made that I think has riled you was pointing out that after 14 games last season, Newcastle had 12 points under Benitez. But after 14 games this season, they've got 16 under Brucey. So where does that put him in the pantheon of Newcastle?
Well, as I said in the WhatsApp group, points do not win prizes this season because the level.
They ultimately
of the
Premier will.
If you get enough of them, of course.
You look at the Premier League table list, I think I was mentioning in the WhatsApp group last night, you look at teams that would have been a lot further down the league table last season. Anything outside of the top four this season is much of a muchness, really, in many ways. But I do fundamentally think that
Bruce is doing an all right job.
He's not doing an all right job, in my opinion. When you're a stepping stone club, if you want me to actually talk about Newcastle United, look, when you're a stepping stone club, you're always going to get a performance out of a team facing the big teams because obviously they're in a shop window. They're looking to go on to bigger and better things. So they're always going to raise the game. And that's not a managerial thing. That doesn't come from the manager, in my opinion. And when you see them play teams like Villa, Brighton, Wolves, and you know, John's just the record scorer this season from midfield, and he's disinterested most matches. None of our forward players are firing at all.
I think, isn't he and Jethro Williams tied, and that's on two each, is it?
No, he's got three. He's got three, okay. So he is actually leading at the moment. But it's very similar to the start of last season where Perez and Rondon really couldn't find a rhythm together up top, and obviously they're not there anymore. I can't see Bruce getting Joe Linton firing. He's just way too green. He's not the hold-up man, and they don't work up top. And I think that is going to come to fruition later on in the season. And it's not playing against Liverpool. It's not playing against Spurs. It's not playing against, to a less extent, Manchester United that are going to save you from relegation. I fundamentally think that conceding 3 in 10 minutes against Leicester and ultimately losing 5-0, they don't look like a very good team. And look at the way they performed against Manchester City. They did park the bus, but they just so happen to have an outlet for players like Alisson Maximan that he can absolutely barrel against players. And Manchester City can be got at the back. And I thought it was a really, really good performance. It was a really solid performance. Very Rafa in many ways.
Yeah, I know, I agree with that.
That's exactly how they played against Manchester City. And they played better this time around than they did last time when they managed to beat them. So a really fun game. And what a goal from Jonge.
Yeah.
At the death.
Because, I mean, Kevin
Training
De Bruyne has just done one of those little, hang on, we're the big boys here. I'll show you how to do a proper goal. And John's like, no, actually.
You're Boer-esque off the bar, that was.
Oh, yeah. De Bruyne's goal, as you say, it was, you think to yourself, Man City, they're a bit off Liverpool in the table. Mm. They need something. But Newcastle defending in numbers, defending well. Because I think against the bigger sides, it's an easier job tactically sometimes.
Without Lascelles as well, I think they were marshalled quite well. And it was a bit last gasp at times, but that's how Newcastle have played for the last two seasons.
And also, you're realistically going to have to play like that against Man City in most.
I'd recommend they play like that against everyone. Yeah. You know, just sort of say, have the ball, we're going to pack the defence and we'll hit you on the brick because we have got some rapid players.
Yeah, I think this is the disconnect between Newcastle fans and the rest of us, isn't it? Where we're looking at that thinking, actually, you know, that's a good result. They've had some good results. They're probably going to stay up. They'll probably be amongst it. Mm-hmm. But looking at this, you'd think they'd stay up. But I suppose as a Newcastle fan, you're not thinking, yay, we might stay up.
Well, yeah. Well, that's not anybody. No, I think we are saying, yay, we might stay up.
Right.
But then fundamentally, it is going to be quite risky when you head into the back end of the season. It only takes a few matches where they just completely underwhelm. And against teams like Villa, they were awful against Villa. They were pretty bad against Brighton and Wolves again. I worry about the bulk of the fixtures, certainly of the Christmas period.
It's the potential of the club. It wasn't that long ago, not that long ago, they were in the Champions League. And it was, we all remember them playing in the Champions League. We all remember them even trying to battle for the Premier League title. Now, you might say,
a lot of 25-year-olds don't. That's not very clear.
But I would say that's a long time ago, Marcus.
That is.
Well, I'm saying it's
it was like 12
within our when I was a student, for example, they were which was a long time ago. I'm saying is Burnley, Crystal Palace, Norwich City, Watford. I don't know, name a few other clubs down there. They don't remember. They've never, off the top of my head, never been in the Champions League.
Well, how far do you go back?
But my point is, and I'm trying to add to what you've just said, it's the potential of the club and where a lot of those fans, not all, but a lot of those fans can remember and where they should be, because the problem is, doesn't matter how many times you shuffle the pack and you could switch the manager and blah, 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 it's the ownership. It all goes absolutely back to that. And so, obviously, we have a bit of a joke and so on and whatnot, but that's the problem. And Newcastle fans, they feed off these scraps of, well, yeah, it was great to celebrate a brilliant equaliser against the champions, you know, and that is great.
But that's it. But that's why players like Ben Arfa and to a lesser extent, Alisson Maximan are kind of brought, they love those kind of players because there's nothing else to get excited about.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you're looking for those individual moments.
Yeah.
So Newcastle, they're almost like a Porsche with Sports Direct wheel clamps on. You know what I mean? And I feel like exactly the same about Arsenal. It's like when there's an owner in your club that is, you know, is using it as a sort of investment vehicle, it feels like you're handcuffed, and it's very frustrating.
I think Newcastle have had it worse than Arsenal.
I'm not saying that they haven't.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I'm very much enjoying that they have.
Don't worry. We'll get to your boys in a minute. You can have your moan, let Pete have his. But Dubravka, though, he kept them in it. Because actually, Man City should have been away, really.
Yeah. Well, actually, that shot was interesting, wasn't it? Because it was
which
very, very
talking
good.
About?
The one right at the death.
Well, at the death, but Sterling. Jesus had a chance, which he might have done better with.
Dubravka gets a lot of criticism because he's quite, he genuinely believes he's a midfielder. he loves it with the ball on his feet. And he is quite good at that. Mm. But the problem is, sometimes his positioning is a little bit suspect. But if you take that out of his game, he becomes a worse keeper, in my opinion. I think he's an excellent shot stopper.
Yeah, could be one of them as well. Yeah, indeed. 11 points now, Man City, Liverpool. Yeah. Is it enough?
It looks.
Or is it too much, rather?
Sorry. It's going to take a spectacular collapse from Liverpool, isn't it? You would think. But there's a lot of the season to go. So I guess if City or even Leicester start to bridge that gap, then I guess we'll see. It is too early to say.
Right now, however, Jim, do you think Man City can win the league?
I would give them sort of like 20% chance.
20%.
Love a siege. Managers love a target.
They do. And
I think Liverpool have got this mad Christmas period coming up.
I think if certain teams around about that time didn't have that extra Champions League match that they have to kind of perform in, they could have like put out a crappy team. It might be a very different picture, as I said last week, after Christmas.
Yeah, we've got the derbies coming up, of course.
What I was going to say about that shot from Sterling, that Dubravka saved late on, is it was a little tame, wasn't it? In that scenario, late on, needing to win a game to be absolutely ruthless and brutal in the Premier League, you just feel like in one of the last two seasons that would have gone in. You know what I mean? I know that's an unscientific way of looking at it, but it seemed very...
It was a game with some incredible goals in there.
Yeah, it was.
Like two awesome goals at the death, but I think Sterling's shot in the first half was just something else.
Oh, he took it with aplomb. Oh, and the little assist from David Silva. Magnificent.
Healy's.
Yeah, Sterling has become one of those players, hasn't he? Which is to his immense credit, where he can score an absolute worldie and it just seems normal.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, that De Bruyne goal. Yeah. That Shelby goal. People saying to me, people tweeting me going, oh, get John the plane. It's like, all the games are at Wembley. Don't need a plane.
Almiron's...
Don't even need a train ticket, you
get
might
him in a taxi.
Almiron's finally got his assist.
I was amazed by that. I cannot believe that.
He has, yeah. But it was a great point for Newcastle United.
It was
nevertheless,
good.
That wasn't
very
an
enjoyable.
Accent of any region of England, by the way. So let's move on quickly to Norwich 2, Arsenal 2. Unai Emery was sacked, of course, on Friday morning, mugging off the Football Ramble once again.
Usual.
But mugging off you, Jim, again, should I say.
Oh, I don't know. I quite enjoyed it.
Well, okay. Well, Jim and I, you and I went to see Arsenal versus Eintracht Frankfurt, of course, on the Thursday night.
Yeah.
And it was tepid.
It was the most flat atmosphere I've ever been to at a game. We also went to Fulham derby that same week,
which was empty,
but you know the atmosphere was a lot better. But it felt like there were no away fans apart from ones who had snuck in.
Fulham derby wasn't empty.
No, but it was.
I mean they are missing a whole stand.
Yeah, there is that. But you were saying it's like there's not many people here.
Yeah.
But it was so flat at the Emirates, wasn't it? It felt like a friendly where everyone was furious.
an unfriendly friendly. Yeah. It was, yeah. Well, Emery's gone, and I think Arsenal fans won't miss him.
No.
I mean, I speak on behalf of them all, actually.
Yeah, you do, but I would add as well that it's not just Emery that's the problem, though. I think the board chose the wrong guy, and that's not really his fault. There's a lot of stuff wrong with the club, like the way they defend is absurd at times, and that's...
But that is the manager's fault.
Well, it is, isn't it? But it's been there since the Wenger days as well, and I think that when the new man comes in,
that's still going to
be a problem that has to be overcome. I think it takes a long time to change these things. There's clearly a lot of problems at Arsenal, and I think Yeah, Emery didn't help them. He added to them, absolutely. He was a bad choice and it was the right thing to move on. But I don't think Arsenal were anywhere near out of the woods in terms of actually being competitive and good again.
Look at the way that David Luiz played in that match. You sort of think he's... I think he's been sold out by the shape of the defence because, he knows how to defend. I know he's, criticised for being a bit...
He's won Premier League titles.
Yeah, he's won Premier League titles as a defender. And it is all about personnel and keeping that same personnel and having some understanding about what person's going to do. You go, I stay, I'll go, and you stay. Mm. But David Luiz, he knows how to defend. And in that match, he looked very, very ordinary and very, very confused. And, I mean, Per Mertesacker has to come in and... Because he's in the dugout now, and he needs to be,
player manager.
Full on... Well, maybe player manager, but full on kind of training sessions in the art of defence. Well,
it is odd, isn't it?
Luiz has always thrived in a back three best, isn't he? Mm-hmm. But there is an idea about him, and maybe this is too simple, that he's better when he's got someone that's a bit less erratic around him who can sort of allow him to go forward and try and win 50-50s or sort of have a little maraud into midfield. But we don't really have anybody that is suited to partnering that. I mean, he started with Mustafi the other night, who had he probably should have done a bit better for the goal because it deflected in off of him. But you see that happen. I don't know who that partner is that is going to allow the erraticism of Luiz to actually be a positive.
When Jose Mourinho was being linked to the Arsenal job, you scorned the idea and you hated it. Now, do you look at Spurs and think, oh, actually,
no,
no,
not even remotely,
really,
not even slightly.
Really?
Mourinho at Arsenal would be awful. It would be an insult to Wenger's legacy, for one thing.
Just documented Wenger's legacy about the bad defending.
Yeah, but they're two completely separate
Mourinho
points.
Would sort the defence out, though.
Mourinho would definitely sort the defence out, but
would it improve his legacy?
Probably not. Imagine that. He'd probably take Arsenal down. So, you know what? It's worth the hit.
Would it be like Brian Clough
on my reputation?
United.
Yeah.
I think teams who fear the Championship have bigger problems in their lives because I think Championship is a fun league. Yeah.
Well, absolutely, as Jim found out when we went to see Fulham v Derby. Yeah. More on that later. Freddie Ljungberg, is he the man?
He's a man, and yes. What
sexiest
a man.
Manager.
He's he might be the sexiest manager that's ever managed in the Premier League.
Hot stuff. Yeah. I once went into a hairdresser and asked for a Freddie Ljungberg haircut.
Did you?
My hairline has travelled in the same direction that his.
What
I'm not
era?
Quite there yet.
Do you end up with like red
spiky
highlights?
Spiky red highlights.
He should really bring that back. Although he doesn't have any hair anymore. I would be surprised, Marcus, if Ljungberg gets the gig full time.
Yeah, no, I agree. What about Patrick Vieira? Who would you fancy?
Of the people being linked, Allegri is obviously probably the best manager on that list. No, I would agree that that's not going to happen. I would also think Rodgers probably isn't going to happen.
Oh, he'd be mad to go there.
Simeone isn't going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be Ljungberg, isn't it?
The second in the league, Jim. He's having a lovely time.
This is what concerns me a little bit. All the people that are being linked. I think, Vieira could
everyone's
be a possibility. Because
everyone,
exactly. Staying put is better in most of those cases.
Shall I join a team that starts with a handicap? Every single match.
See, the manager I was most interested in of those that came out as having been interviews Ralf Rangnick because he's well known for improving players,
right.
And that is clearly this is an underachieving squad, and that's what you need. Marcus, you made the point on Thursday night. You're looking around that team. You're going because I was saying we're just playing like a mid-table team, which is literally what we are at the moment. And you were like, oh yeah, aside from Aubameyang and Lacazette, it's just average. There's a lot of players there that they were in there for their potential for a while, and then that hasn't come to fruition. Mm. So we need a better.
Do you think Aaron Ramsey regrets his move to Juventus?
No, I don't. He's a huge miss. He was someone that
even
Emery,
he didn't play that much.
Emery brought him in when results were going quite badly and started to depend on him quite heavily. But obviously now he didn't have that option of that world class player just knocking about the training
Should
ground.
Should I go to the Champions of Italy for $400,000 a year? Yeah. A week.
With a massive signing on fee.
I think I will.
Yeah.
I think as I was saying in the obviously the WhatsApp group that you guys aren't privy to. But in Chelsea,
hang on.
Say again. Not the WhatsApp group that you're not privy to. The listeners aren't privy to.
Oh, that one does exist, Mark.
But if you look at how everything's sort of panned out this season compared to last season, Spurs fifth at the same time, fifth at the same place this time last season. They had 10 more points in the same position. Wolves are sixth this season. They would have been 10th last season. Mm. So I think everything below fourth is a bit of a much of a much.
Well, yeah, as I said, like, is Leicester just tearing points off
everyone? Exactly. Just Leicester, the only one who looked like they want to put some kind of form together.
Yeah.
Everyone else, Chelsea are on there because, only up there because of their away form has been so good.
Yeah.
But everyone else below that are just a bit patchy.
Oh, I know what you
and
mean.
If a team like Arsenal just went on a bit of a run, putting together a couple of wins, their league position would improve.
Yeah. Well, that's what Mourinho's doing at Spurs. He's thinking to himself, hang on, let's just win a few games.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Suddenly the table doesn't look that bad.
Stop titting about.
Exactly. Yeah.
The Premier League is a bit poor this season, I would say.
I think it's really interesting that the supposed top six, there are only three of them in the top six at the moment, which would be Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea. Mm. Oh no, Spurs are back up there now as well.
Okay. By the way, have you checked to see if Arsenal have got a new manager? Because they could spring that on us. You know, Ralf Rangnick or something like that. What about any other Ralf from Germany? I don't know.
King
gonna,
Ralf?
Going to pluck another Ralf off the top of my head. Ralf Minge.
Ralf Minge?
Yeah, could have Minge in there.
Yeah, I'd have to have a think about that.
Yeah, Minge, he hasn't worked for a few years, but you know.
Well, there'll be... fresh. I'm not going to. Let's not go there.
That is careful what you Google, especially if you're at work. For there is a man called Ralf Minge, who's a German football manager.
That's okay, cool. Saying.
You know, he's a. What about Archel Fux from Brazil? Could have him as well.
If you're typing Minge into Google, you deserve everything you get.
Yeah, you really do.
Because it's a terrible word.
It is.
No one's going to use it. No one's going to use it in a sexy context.
No, then really not, are they?
No, it's a sort of thing that gets shouted in British pornography, and no one likes that.
Well, it was a good point for Norwich nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get. Should we talk about that?
Could have been all three. Could have been all three if Leno hadn't have made that fantastic save.
Yeah, Leno kept. You know, Leno won us a point there. Really,
a bit spicy around the penalty. Tim Krul, he does love a bit of shit-ailsery.
He's awful, isn't he?
If you face Tim Krul in a penalty,
oh God,
he's going to save it.
Yeah,
he's just gonna save it. It's what he does.
He he got in Aubameyang's head so much. He did such a good job on that.
You watched the Euros,
yeah,
the World Cup. It was.
Oh, was it the World Cup?
Yeah.
You watched the World Cup.
What do you guys think about the encroachment thing? Because obviously I'm slightly biased. Yeah. I'm like, thank God that happened.
Right.
VAR's
for those kind of like finicky kind of like little pernickety kind
it's
of
a
situations,
law.
Isn't it?
It is the law of the game that happens, and VAR is there.
And also, it was cleared by that player, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cleared. The ball was. The rebound was cleared by the player who had encroached, so actually it served its purpose there. Mm. Did enjoy your Aubameyang's little shush as well. You got if you've had that much given to you, do you know what I mean? You've got to have a little subtle giving it back. But Todd Cantwell, again, fantastic
lovely
goal from him and a really, really good performance as well. I thought he was great.
Was he in One Direction?
He was on my bench for the fucking fantasy league.
Sorry to hear that. Well, of course, Rodgers, he has been linked with the Arsenal job, but he'd be mad to go because his Leicester City side. Mm. It was champions winning stuff, wasn't it? Title winning stuff.
It was great, wasn't it?
Last gasp win for Leicester. And what I loved about it is obviously the VAR awarded the goal and all that kind of stuff. And then Rodgers just unashamedly said after the game, I thought today was a real positive for VAR. I bet you bloody did.
He's right though, isn't it? That was an example of where in seasons past, because obviously we criticise VAR quite a lot, so we should be, credit where it's due, should be given as well. That if that had been chalked off in seasons past, that would have been a really annoying thing. So it's worked there.
Great goal from Iheanacho.
Really, really good. And actually, you know what? If he can gain some confidence and start scoring again, he can be a real, real asset for Leicester, especially with his Christmas period coming up.
I think
they're
his first minutes in the league this season.
Well, absolutely.
So when you say confidence, it doesn't look like he lacked it because he came on, he had an assist and a goal. It's whether he gets the minutes.
But I mean, when we've seen him play previously for Leicester, he looked a lot like he lacked confidence. So judging on that, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I love the celebrations afterwards where firstly they all run over to Rodgers and then Christian Fuchs put up that video of them all celebrating with Iheanacho, clearly making him like the man of the moment. Yeah. And that spirit there looks brilliant, doesn't it?
Well,
which is what Rodgers brings.
Totally. Well, as you say, when the goal was eventually given and they all sprinted over and those scenes of celebration, obviously Liverpool are the club to beat. And if you were a top class player, that would be the club that you would want to play for right now in the league. You know, obviously Man City is still decent as well. But Leicester... Like, again, if you're you would look at that and you think that is a club I want to play for. That is where I want to be because, as you say, the spirit is so good, and the style of football they're playing, the way they move the ball, yeah, they're a little bit slow at times, and Everton defended deep and in numbers. And I thought Everton played really well. It was much better from Everton. Yeah. And it was gutted for Silva because they should have got a point. It could have been all three. It was one of those games could have gone either way, although I think as it went on, Leicester did sort of get in their groove.
I think that's it though, isn't it? Obviously, Leicester are a very, very good team, and they're very good at kind of being on the front foot in a way that that we've not seen from them so much.
Vardy doesn't have a back foot.
Oh my God.
He's all front foot.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a always pressing machine, isn't he? I think the main reason you would want to play for Leicester is so you didn't have to play against him. But yeah, I do feel for Everton in the same way, Marcus, but at the same time, that's the brief, isn't it? If you're playing Leicester, they're going to come at you. They're going to come at you all game, and you've got to figure out a way to deal with that, and they didn't.
Yeah, and they scored a great goal as well, Richarlison, a superb header. But Leicester, just watching them again, even though they weren't at their best, and Everton did a good job, by and large, sort of defending, and it was obviously that last gasp winner. But the way Leicester, they move the ball, they're pretty slick, as we know, and again, that is a Rodgers side, the good passing. But they do that thing where they build up patiently, and then they squeeze the opposition. Mm. And then suddenly, the next thing, Johnny Evans and Soyuncu, forgive pronunciation, I think it's Soyuncu, the Turkish centre-half, the next thing, they are like almost on the halfway line, and they've squeezed it, and then they're playing the game in the opposition's half as well. That is usually a sign of a good side that does that. Yeah. They dictate and they play and they.
Then a ball comes over. The biggest prick in the playground has got his elbow in your ribs, and you're 1-0 down.
Exactly,
and he's laughing at you. He's pointing at you and going, nah.
But it was, as soon as that match started, though, it was a barnstorming start. I really there was no doubt in my mind that it was going to be at least a score draw.
Yeah.
Surprisingly,
there was only three goals. Actually.
Well, we were nearly a so-called Super Sunday where every team scored. And it was all score draws apart from, obviously, Iheanacho stalling at the last minute.
Exactly. It's Ben Chilwell. Should he have been booked?
I don't know, even having watched that times.
Was he like anticipating contact?
He was.
So that's why. And you know, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until on Twitter he posted a video of the changing room celebrations. With the title, when the 10 out of 10 replies to your boy's DM. And I was like, oh,
what?
A bit rubbish. That's a woman.
That's awful.
Wouldn't
like to see what he's been Googling. He's to Marcus is in his next
Big
history,
Ralph.
I'd imagine.
if the VAR, they overturned the penalty, which was given for that supposed foul on Chilwell, when it's taken away, I thought, he's lucky not to be booked there.
Yeah.
You think, because I feel like if that is a dive, incredibly well timed and executed, isn't
it? You're not gonna get any sort of decision. They're not even going to be VAR checked unless you go down. It's still the case in 2019.
Well, we didn't mention against Newcastle, but Fernandinho should have been sent off, shouldn't he?
Yep.
There we are. Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break, and after which we'll talk about more of those footballs.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. What do you got to say for yourself, Peter?
Ooh la la, we have a winner.
No!
Not us.
Oh,
let's make that very clear.
Yeah, we definitely didn't.
In our world, a couple of almost this weekend, obviously Vardy scored, not first. Rashford scored, but then he had his goal chalked off as an own goal, which is very enjoyable.
But he still wouldn't have been the first one.
No,
though.
He still wouldn't have been the first one, exactly. We do have a winner, though. One customer did pick... No. The first goal scorer in all four matches, Mousset, Pukki, Grealish and Richarlison, which is very exciting indeed.
Fair play as well, because they are all like very well considered picks, aren't they?
Yeah.
Massively. It's not like they've gone Kane, Aguero,
no.
Whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Aguero would be a particularly poor.
Well, quite. Well, we've never won it, Pete, but so yes, what do we know?
So someone's won the jackpot and it will be going back down again to 25,000.
Wow.
So.
What a lucky boy. Lucky ducky.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, like a lucky person.
Exactly. Yeah, so get yourself to betway.com for more FootScore action. BeGambleAway.org.
Flipping heck. Can't believe that. Yeah. Thought we were going to go all the way at the end of the season.
Mm. Yeah.
It can be won, ladies and gentlemen, even though we don't back that up because we haven't won it yet.
But only one person has. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. There we are. We'll win it together, Jim, won't we? At some point. At West Ham got a great win at Chelsea. Mm. Kept a clean sheet, of course. And it was so much better from West Ham. We talk about Everton being a lot better. Well, it was much better from West Ham. And, of course, they got the win. They could have won by more if it wasn't for Kepa in goal. He made some great saves. But at West Ham's first win at Chelsea since 2002 and their first clean sheet in the league since the 22nd of September. But, of course, the story was all about 33-year-old David Martin, who kept a clean sheet on his Premier League debut for the club. And a wonderful
emotion.
Well, yes, of course, a bit of a journeyman. He's played all throughout the sort of football league. He was at MK Dons for a good while. Gets signed for West Ham.
From Millwall, is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
He got signed to West Ham, which is a backup goalkeeper best, of course. And his father, Alvin Martin, is one of the best centre-halves that the club's ever had. He was there for 20 years, his father, from 1976 to 1996. Imagine the changes that he saw in the game of football when the Premier League came in. And
I remember he's a very Alvin bitter, so poor well. Man.
I remember him so well. A good friend of mine was a very very promising footballer before he discovered all the booze. And Alvin Martin clapped him once and... Even now, he won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
So the man's approval meant a lot.
I mean, those scenes of him in tears after the final was very unwelcome watching on a Sunday morning. I wasn't actually hungover. Uh-huh. A rare non-hungover situation on a Sunday, but it's up there with Righty with Mr. Pigden.
Oh, man.
I don't like to watch any of these videos after I've been drinking. Righty with Mr. Pigden. Marines getting reunited with their dogs.
Uh-huh. The Football Ramble Tour of 2019
video. Yes, exactly.
Very emotional.
Children hearing their mother's voices for the first time after getting a cochlear implant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. And there's that video of that man who dresses up as his dog's favourite toy. Have
yes,
seen that?
Mr. Gumby.
Brilliant.
Mr. Gumby.
Mr. Gumby, they told me you were dead.
Jimmy.
They told me you was a fictional character.
That'll do. but yes, David Martin.
Someone says you was in the jungle.
Oh, dear. Yeah, great, though, from West Ham. I mean, David Martin, there was one where he dropped the ball early in the game, then recovered well, but I think it would have been offside anyway, the rebound. But it is an interesting... It's obviously the story about his father and his Premier League debut for West Ham, obviously, where his father's a legend and so on. But there's actually a slightly bigger picture in that Roberto, the goalkeeper that was signed for West Ham. A lot of West Ham fans are really fed up with him. They think he's a very poor goalkeeper, and they question Pellegrini. In fact, that's one of the biggest decisions that some West Ham fans have been questioning of Pellegrini and saying, well, hang on, you need your brains tested. This guy's not good enough.
Mm.
And I think some of, according to one or two journalists, you know, the West Ham, I mean, Jacob Steinberg, the one who writes a lot about West Ham, he's a West Ham fan, of course, and he believes, and the evidence would back him up, that back four or the defence of West Ham have been very unnerved having Roberto behind them. So...
having to cover constantly.
Well,
for,
yeah, if you, if you, what if you have, if you have unsafe hands behind you in net, then
I suppose that makes everything last ditch, doesn't it? If you're thinking, don't let them get a shot away at all.
Yeah,
it's going to affect your thinking.
Now, if that is true to the extent that some people have been suggesting, then actually having David Martin in there is a breath of fresh air. And and the way his teammates celebrated with him. Now, again, you've got the backstory, but he has to be a popular figure. Because if he's a proper knob going around going, yeah, my dad's a West Ham legend and all this kind of stuff, they're not going to celebrate like that with him. So, I don't know. We could see more of...
Oh, I think, he'll do it. He's earned... he's got a clean sheet, which, and, you know, Roberto can't really hold his hands up to that standard, can he, with some of the performances we've seen from him. It was one of those horrible games where like a player's been under a bit of pressure and the camera keeps cutting to the benched player. So I do really, really feel for him on a human level. But, you know, Martin's earned his chance there. Aaron Cresswell's goal as well.
Lovely goal.
Brilliant.
Yeah. The forgotten man.
It's a situation, though, that I think it was more about Chelsea than West Ham's performance, because West Ham have put performances in this season that probably should have given them points where they got a draw or whatever. But like, I think Frank is going to have to... This is where he's going to earn his dollars. Because he's got some injuries. He's going to have more injuries, no doubt. So he's going to have to cut his cloth accordingly and just sort of go, you know what, lads? Let's not be quite so adventurous, because we really don't have it in defensively, basically.
But then, I know what you mean. They missed Tammy Abraham.
Yeah,
definitely. I know Giroud's a decent operator, but they missed Abraham because they look quite blunted. Because, David Martin in goal didn't have that much to do for West Ham, really. And West Ham would have been disappointed. I know they had the ball in the back of the net more than once. Obviously, it was only one of them was given, but they would have been disappointed. And Kepa made some saves. But Antonio was a threat throughout.
Yeah.
Like, he really was. It was a shame for him that he never scored, actually, because it would have capped off a fine performance. But the way he kind of bullied that Chelsea back line.
Yeah.
And I know what you're saying, Pete. Maybe they're, you know, a little bit green at the back with some of those. Well, are they, though?
Well, just too attacking for me. Like, you can't.
I say that, though, but you've got some experienced players there. I thought that maybe, you know, sometimes these games can happen. Chelsea, they've had, they were in Valencia not that long ago. They've had a lot of games against some good opposition. They're still finding their feet under a fairly inexperienced manager, it's safe to say. And they probably wouldn't have expected that performance from West Ham. You know, if you're a player, you can be forgiven every now and then when you're playing some top sides and you're in the Champions League and you're away from home and da-di-da-di-da. And then you think, oh, West Ham, they've been a bit rubbish of late. Okay. And then suddenly West Ham go at them, and they never really got out of sort of second or third gear to Chelsea.
Is it playing at home that's the situation? Because obviously Chelsea are excellent on the road, or have been this season. Is it just the drama of having Frank in the dugout and him kind of letting situations get on top of him a little bit?
Possibly. With regards to Pellegrini, though, I mean, his job's still not safe, unlike Lampard's. I think Lampard will be there until the end of the season, you'd expect. But Pellegrini said, when you don't win, you are a beast. But when you do... You are a genius.
Beast is an odd choice of words there, isn't it?
It is. I mean, English is obviously not his first language. Mm. I think he's, you know, you're hounded like a beast or something.
Yeah,
I like it.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Normally a beast in sort of footballing terms is a positive.
It's Adiak and Fenwa, isn't it? Almost exclusively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or I was going to say Thomas Gravesen, but...
Yeah, no, he's certainly, you know, one of the beasts. Yeah.
One of the beasts. One of the beasts.
Yeah, well, you'd say someone like, I don't know, Tony Adams was a beast of a centre-half, wouldn't you? Kind of
thing. Do you have any beasts, Pete?
Not in my life.
Yeah.
Gruffalo.
Yeah, there's one.
We're fair-weather friends. I never see him. No, he never writes.
But a great win for West Ham, nonetheless. And an important win for them, because down at the bottom, Norwich picked up a point, of course. Southampton beat Watford.
Yes.
As well, and again, West Ham.
Kiki Sanchez Flores.
Yeah, there you are, you see.
Yeah.
Another one that went.
Yeah.
How little we knew. No, in fact, I think we know him all right, don't we? Yes,
yeah.
Very.
On the Everton situation, I do sort of think that they're not going to end their relationship with their manager this week. They've got the derby coming up. Give him that one.
And
really let him fuck it up and then move on to someone else.
I don't know, though, because there could be a school.
You might want
a
new manager bounce, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Against Liverpool, Jim, come on.
Get Duncan Ferguson as the number one for the game against Liverpool. Right, because if anybody doesn't perform, then we may not see that person together again.
Got some new kit in the gym. Is that a rack? Yeah. Are you going to stretch us out? We're too small.
My goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for emails with that man, PTD.
Your email show at Football Radio.
Well done to Jack, who's emailed in. Oi, oi, chaps. Quality show in Norwich a few weeks back. Glenn Tamplin, you know that guy?
No.
He's the rich bloke who... took over Romford.
No, Billericay Town, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's
right.
Billericay Town, but he's a rich guy who has bought Romford.
Yes.
And installed himself as manager.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know that.
I am.
My word.
And his managerial skills have continued in his new job. Have a listen to the attached voice clip my mate sent me. A friend of his plays for Romford and sent me this incredible anecdote about one of Tamplin's motivational speeches. Enjoy. It's a big, long clip. I've cut it down to one particular part because the other bit is slightly misogynistic. but this is what Glenn Tamplin apparently does and allegedly does inside the dressing room.
You know, it's like the geezer just lost the plot. It just started going all weird. And he was all in a circle and he was shouting out, "Sheepdog. You're the sheepdog. You go and get your sheep." And we all had to say, "Sheepdog." Mate, I'm real is that.
I really is that.
So you've just thrown this player massively under the bus there, haven't you? Because well, we're probably going to get back to Glenn.
We don't know who it is. That's a friend of the player itself.
Right,
so,
okay.
So, you know, that's apparently what's happening.
Goodness.
We can't, you know, I'm not going to explore the veracity of this particular claim, but it makes me laugh that a manager will go to the dressing room and go,
"Sheepdog.
Sheepdog. You got to say sheepdog.
Sheepdog. Marcus, sheepdog.
Say sheepdog.
Sheepdog.
It was Lions before,
sheepdog.
Wasn't it?
Sheepdog.
Sheepdog. It was Lions.
It was Lions before.
Maybe
he thought Lions is a bit over the top.
Yeah.
How can it's still going to be an animal theme.
Scale it down. Yeah. Sheepdogs. Sheepdogs.
You're the sheepdogs.
You're the sheepdogs.
You only have one sheepdog.
Exactly, yeah. If anything. I mean, how many sheep have you got? Yeah. Are you playing five teams? Yeah. It's confusing. Hello to Robert, who wants to make Watford fun again. Put that on a hat. In the era of so-called smart appointments, only one club stands firm in the face of this. Only one man has consistently survived the upheaval at Watford, and therefore only one man is capable of steering the course in the choppy waters. Four words. Troy Deeney, player manager. Imagine the scenes, the unveiling, the pitch side displays. We could have more headbutts than pards. We could get even better post-match interviews than Charlie Austin could ever dream of, and we could get them every week. Never mind adding fuel to the narrative fire. Deeney is a narrative napalm. Can we all just briefly imagine this? I genuinely think he'd do well. He's not just the hero they need. He's the hero we all deserve. Make Watford fun again. Robert Scott, thank you for that nomination.
I think Troy Deeney might be too irresponsible.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, like, I don't think he'd want it. You know what I mean? I don't think he would want to do that job.
Yeah, he's
like,
still got so much to offer on the field.
Appraising that as
line.
A serious thing. Like, obviously, he means a hell of a lot to that club. But can he be asked? Like, is that worth it to him?
Finally, for now, Jack Beresford has pointed out that the website givemesport.com, one of those aggregation sites, last Friday, we released the show at like 5 a.m. In the afternoon, a lazy Friday afternoon. Footballers you probably don't realise played together in the same team was posted by an unnamed person. I'm not going to name them. But yeah, basically just a list of players who, unlikely players who played together. And they were all of the nominees that we put out on Friday.
The middle section of it was, there were a few others in there, weren't there? But the middle section
maybe two maximum.
Even in the same order that you read them out, I believe.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there we go. Wolfie Zahar, Edgar Davids, I'm reading it now. Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane, they put that in there. Yeah.
Quality stuff, guys. Well
done. Quality stuff. Well done. That's what aggregators do. They reheat terrible leftovers from our emails.
From other people's bins.
Is that what we are then?
What?
Is that what we are?
No, we get the first one. They're the seventh pressing of the olive oil.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that was your emails. If you want to get to the show, as always, it's at shortfootballrambledaily.com.
Gentlemen, let's go down to the Championship, shall we?
All right, then.
All right, then. Because Wayne Rooney's back.
He is.
Wayne Rooney was on the bench for Derby's draw.
The Rooney effect, ending a fine run of wins.
Well, no, they lost against Fulham.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So actually, if anything, it was an upturn of results.
Yeah.
Because Jim and I saw Fulham put Derby to the sword 3-0.
Well, it was more of a cheese knife.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
but it was Derby. They drew one on QPR, and Wazza was on the bench. Curtis Davis, the Derby is he captain? He certainly was captain against Fulham. He talked about some of the players being starstruck.
Yeah,
with old Wazza,
which actually is pretty likely to happen in the Championship for the opposition as well. I think he's going to tear it up there.
Well, he's been away for a couple of years now, and some of the younger players probably coming through. It's Wayne Rooney, you know, lest we forget he is England's top scorer of all time, and Manchester United's, I think, you know, you can forget.
Yeah,
I know it sounds daft, but Rooney being there, some players will give that a lift. We were saying this. We wonder why Rooney's doing this, because you sort of think to yourself, is Rooney? It is a step down from what he's used to playing in England, of course.
Yeah.
But then when you hear about the kind of coaching roles and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, Derby, people say it's a good club to earn your stripes with a little bit. You know, Lampard, of course. Philip Cocu there as well, so an interesting guy who's had a lot of footballing experience. I don't know. What do you think of Derby?
I see a lot of... he's not going to be bullied.
Certainly
because he's
not.
Quite a physically imposing footballer.
Mm.
I can see some red cards in his future. If he gets on the field, I can see some red cards.
Yeah, he's going to be furious, isn't he?
He might be wound up in a way that he's not quite used to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he was, because he got the odd red card in America, I think. Oh, yeah, he's going to be flipping furious, isn't he?
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I think as well, he will, like I say, he'll tear it up because the pace will suit him a bit more. And we know that he's
fast,
a naturally very skillful player.
I think he might be underestimating. I think we might be underestimating how good the Championship is. And
there's no doubt that it's a brilliant league, but it's not quite as quick as the Premier League, is it? Which I think would suit him in a lot of games.
But then he's not been playing in the Prem for a couple of years.
Yeah,
so
true.
I suppose to back up your point, actually, Jim, maybe that MLS is actually quite fast and physical.
Yeah.
People sometimes don't realise that. Andrea Pirlo definitely didn't when he went there.
Yeah, quite.
I'll just stroll around for a bit. Oh, actually.
Yeah, what?
No, this is not working out. It nearly is what I thought it would be. I don't know. We look forward to seeing Wayne Rooney at Derby, of course. One of Wayne Rooney's former teams were involved in the Euro 2020 draw. I refer to England, of course.
Oh, Manchester United.
England, the draw's been done as much as it can be at this stage. England in a group with Croatia, them again. Mm. Czech Republic, them again. And the winner of the playoff between Scotland, Israel, Norway or Serbia. So it'd be one of those four. Mm. All of the games, of course, or all of England's games will be at Wembley.
Potentially tricky.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
It's not the worst one, but you're always going to get tricky ones. I think Croatia, we know, can beat England, although England beat them last time. Croatia are not what they were. Czech Republic can beat England.
Yeah, we've seen that.
But again, England should beat Czech Republic.
Battered them at Wembley.
Yeah.
So, you know. Actually, that would be quite a handy one to perhaps exercise the demon of that surprising loss. England Scotland at Wembley is a potential match. That is just like Euro 96 all over again. Mm. Like, yes, please.
The way Scotland are playing.
That was on my birthday.
Israel. But I like the big headline from one of the papers was like Euro 2020 draw. Gareth Southgate warns against England complacency. No one is complacent, Gareth. Just get on with it, mate.
No, I think a couple of... there were one or two people who
got
England
going,
as, they got England as favourites.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, what the hell are you doing?
It's started again, isn't it?
It's absolute madness. I understand the whole kind of all the games are at Wembley, but as you say, that happened at Euro 96 when even the quarterfinal was at Wembley and England still didn't win the tournament. And you would argue that England maybe had a better side back
then. I don't know that. I think England have qualified very well, scored a lot of goals. Mm. There are reasons to be positive about it, but I think it is this worrying sort of British exceptionalist trend again, isn't it? To go like, we've had a good run, so we're automatically favourites.
Well, no, but it's only...
I'd go with English.
I was going to say, there's only one or two bookies, but other people who are a bit more realistic, actually, that are already talking about England, where they want to finish in their group. And I think this is actually where most people lie. This is the realism of hopefully a majority of English or England supporters. Because if England finish second if England win their group, they'll play the runners-up of Group F, which contains Germany, France, Portugal, and one of the playoff winners yet to be determined. All three of those teams know how to beat England.
That's a worry, isn't it?
One of those teams will finish second in that group, okay?
God.
And also, I think the match will be played in Dublin. So home support will be very much for one of those three teams.
So you can
see England going out in the second round there. Or if England finish second in their group, then they will play the runner-up of Group E, which is Spain, Poland, Sweden, and a playoff winner, which could be Ireland or Northern Ireland, that playoff winner, I should say. But you would imagine Spain to win that group. So again, you would rather play Poland, Sweden, or... one of the playoff teams rather than Germany, France, and Portugal.
So, yeah. So come on, England, to an extent.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So make sure, England, you lose at least one game, which they probably will. But it's Euro 2020.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's quite strange you don't know the full draw because you go and a playoff winner there and you think, who's that going to win?
A lot of people are saying, is it going to have the same sort of atmosphere where, with any tournament, the host nation is a big part of it? But I think it might be like that bit of Eurovision where where they sort of like phone around Europe or like Skype
a lot
around
of,
Europe
lot
and
of
going
ISDN
like, hello
lines,
from
yeah.
Bucharest and stuff like that. And it's going to be great.
ISDN lines going in.
Mm. Wales do know who they're in a group with Italy, Switzerland and Turkey.
Oh, no.
It is true.
You look at the stars of the team. Turkey, very defensive, youth-focused team. Italy, very attacking, youth-focused team. Wales, they'll take anyone.
Do you think?
Have you ever been over the Severn Bridge? Well, have you. Ever been in a tall building in Worcester and look west? We'll have you.
Yeah.
You're playing.
With Ryan Giggs in charge, what could go wrong? They qualified.
Back to Baku.
You never know, though.
Oh, are they in Baku? Is Roman Baku?
It's Roman
that's
Baku.
Where that's
so I think
where
they've got
going.
Two matches in Baku, which is quite good. They can stick around one place, but that's a lot of travelling, isn't it? That is a lot of travelling.
It's not what you want.
And a lot of Wales fans, we're talking to cameraman Sam, who's obviously a Wales fan. He's going to take his dad out there. There's no direct flights. You'd think there'd be some put on.
What?
Still no direct flights.
Yeah, I think that's what he said anyway. Istanbul.
Istanbul, or I think. Is it Vilnius or
who
somewhere?
Knows? Let them figure it out.
What a weird travelogue that will be. That's
Georgia
makes it though.
They go via Georgia.
Good luck to them. Okay.
Good luck to them.
Indeed. Yeah. Right. What else has been tickling our fancy in the world of football, gentlemen?
Did you see Ivan Toney's big fat volley?
No.
Oh, it was a bloody beauty, guys.
Yeah.
Well, you should have seen it.
I should have done
because it was very good, and I put it in the running order
in
the FA Cup for Peterborough. I'll show you.
Yeah, because we had the FA Cup, didn't we?
We did have the FA Cup. Hartlepool came down from 2-0 down to draw, which is good.
Yeah,
Ivan Toney, a 30-yard volley, keeper lobbed all ends up. It was fantastic.
It was a beauty.
My Japanese team as well that I enjoy watching when I'm up at 4 a.m.
which is
Fenfra Kofu. I don't watch
for a moment
matches,
there. I thought you were confessing to having a secret Japanese family
that
you refer to as my Japanese team.
My Japanese team. Venfra Kofu were in the J League 2. Manager, they were playing in the playoffs to get for the chance to be in J1. The manager in the dugout wearing Apple AirPods in his ears. Bit more of that, please.
Why?
Come on.
I don't like that.
He's just getting instructions or, maybe listen to a podcast or something.
He's just not doing one of those things.
Maybe he's listening to the Football Ramble.
Okay, you've won me over.
But he's got Peter Utaka plays for them, and he has got the biggest head in football. And I follow him on Instagram, and he's a good little follow. But the interesting
thing
about
that sounded like a little boy's homework.
What?
what did I do on my holiday? I Peter Utaka. He has got the biggest head, and I love him, and he is a good follow.
But the interesting thing about the J2 playoff is that if it ended in a draw, the match I can't remember who they're playing, but it ended in a draw. No penalties, no replay, but the higher ranked team in the league, the final stands in the league, they go through to the next round. So they drew the match, and then Venfra Kofu were just beside themselves with sadness. They were so sad.
Aww.
And I was like, what's going on here? Where's the penalty? Where's the replay?
They
got another chance, but You've it was actually, robbed. Yeah, they had to win. They had to win. They should do more of that, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Jim, have you got anything to cheer
Peter
us up?
Peter Utaka's big head.
Yeah, I do actually have something to cheer us up. We missed this the other week, but Gareth Ainsworth, manager of Wycombe Wanderers,
is
releasing a Christmas single.
He's a character.
He's a character, isn't he? But he's generally quite a demure, suave one. You don't think of him as being this sort of extrovert. But
Here you go.
You've been wanting to talk about this for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I have.
He finally got it in.
I have. He's
you waited for Advent, which is what Gareth should have done.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So professional, Pete. he's a singer in a band called the Cold Blooded Hearts, and his dad was a non-league footballer, and his mum was a singer. So he's always sort of had a foot in both camps, DNA-wise, I suppose. Yes. He's just he's it's a cover of a song called "The Wanderer." It's coming out on the 13th of December.
I'm the type of guy who is that Wanderer.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go on then. Have you got one?
I think I can plug it in.
Yeah, of course you can, bruv.
We can give it a literal plug.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Why is this a Christmas
single?
It's not bad,
is it?
It's good.
It's probably got some sleigh bells in there at some point.
Carmelo Wanderer. Oh, Wickham Wanderers. Golden Bennett.
What get with it, Spelzy.
Sorry, everybody. Now. I was slow there.
Let me just plug the aux cable back into the iPad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gareth. Oh. We love you, Gareth.
Love you, Gareth.
Keep wandering. All right. Next time, do a song about the Wicker Man. We'd the Wicker Man.
We'd have you back anytime, Gareth.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the Football Ramble, of course. If you want to see more of us, go and check that tour video out on our YouTube.
All right, then.
Nice one, PED.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Nice one, Jimmy T.
Bye-bye.
And nice one, listeners. See you soon.
I was arriving late like John.
This was a Stakhanov production.
You're the sheepdogs. You go and get your sheep.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.